All right, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs, chapter 6. And as you find your place there, I'd ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God as we read just a few verses here, beginning in verse number 16. Proverbs, chapter 6, we'll read from verse 16 down through verse number 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Father, we're grateful for your word. Now as we look into it today, we ask that you would bless us. Father, may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, last week, I began looking at a theme entitled, How to Destroy a Church. And, of course, it's not what maybe I should be preaching, but as I mentioned last week, the whole point isn't that we do what I'm saying. It's don't do what I'm saying, because we have a good church with good church unity. And we know that when we're trying to do something for God, I mentioned some things last week that we did over the summer. Now our Sunday school contest, our veteran service, all geared to try to win people to Christ and to encourage them to live faithfully for the Lord. When a church is doing that and is in one accord, God pours out his blessings on that church. But at the same time that God is pouring his blessings down on that church, our adversary, the devil, is doing all he can do to try to disrupt things and try to destroy a church. And so we're looking at different ways that the devil tries to get into a church and destroy a church that God wants to bless. We looked at a couple of things last week. We looked at the idea of control, forgetting that this church belongs to God and that he is our head. I am not the head of this church, and neither are you. God is, and we all submit together to his headship and his lordship. The second thing we looked at was that of contentment. And as I mentioned last week, I'll say it again this week, I believe contentment destroys more churches than any other thing across not just America, but across the world. When God's people in a church are content with the way things are and with the number of people that were saved in the past, the number of missionaries that are being supported, that will destroy a church faster than anything else and more completely than anything else. This morning, I'd like to look at a third way, and that would be that of contention. Contention. And that's why I began here in Proverbs chapter 6, because one way that contention comes about in a local church is through gossiping. Gossiping about others in the church family. And sometimes we have to be careful during prayer times that our prayer requests don't become a gossip session. And I know sometimes, and I've been in meetings where that happens. And that's unfortunate, and certainly not usually the intention of the prayer request as it's being related. But we always have to be careful and directly aim more at saying things when you get out of church on the way out, talking about someone else who's in the church family. You can't believe what they did, or you can't believe what they saw, or you can't believe what they wore. Something along that lines. Contention oftentimes begins with gossiping about others, and then they hear it or overhear it. And Abby, it's funny. I guess Stephen's kind of the same way. When they're going to say something about somebody, they're always within earshot. But I remember one time, and they usually don't say bad things, but things you don't necessarily want them to hear. I remember one time going to Kroger's with Abigail. And she just has this thing for Land Rovers. And there was a beautiful black Land Rover in the parking lot. And so I parked right next to it so she could get a good look at it. And we're walking in and we're talking about that Land Rover. And she's saying, Dad, they probably, to have that money, much money, probably work in the pharmacy. And we're just talking. And she says, Dad, I think if that's a young man, I'd like him to take me out on a date sometime. At least one, if he's not safe, so I can ride in that Land Rover. And so we weren't in there a long time, but we're heading back out. And we're walking through from the door to the parking lot, and we're parked right there along on Mary Street, right by the exit. I'm right by where the exit to the store is and the exit to the parking lot. But so it's not a long walk, and she's not caring about how loud she's talking. So she's talking rather loudly, saying, you know, because I had said, well, what if it's a lady? And this is kind of as we're walking out of the store. She goes, well, I'd like whoever's Land Rover that is, if it's a lady, to go out for tea with her sometime. And as we're walking, there was a lady walking just to our right. And you can guess what vehicle she got into and heard every word we said on the way out the store. Just that kind of thing. You never know who's listening or who can hear. And that's why it's so important to be careful about guarding our tongues and what we say about other people. And if we have those thoughts that maybe we're appalled by what someone said, maybe we're appalled by what someone did, maybe we are appalled by what someone wore, but we don't necessarily have to say that out loud. A better response, of course, than gossip is prayer. Oftentimes, that's what people need. Sometimes they just need to grow in the Lord and so that they don't do those things or say those things or wear those things. But oftentimes, it gets back to the one that it was spoken about, and it hurts the feeling and then contention, because those two people just don't get along in that church like they should. And so we come here to Proverbs chapter 6. And even though gossiping here isn't mentioned, I believe it is involved in all seven of these things that are an abomination to God. The first abomination that he mentioned there in verse number 17 is a proud look. Pride is the root of all gossip. The reason why we say something negative about another person or repeat something that perhaps shouldn't have been repeated is usually because of pride in our own selves that I would never go there. I would never do that. I would never say that. I would never wear that. Pride is the root of all gossip. He goes on from there to a lying tongue. Now, gossip isn't always lying. Sometimes gossiping is just telling the truth that maybe something a truth that shouldn't be repeated or stated. But oftentimes gossip is lying. And when we think of that word gossip, that's usually what we're thinking. We're thinking that they're saying something about somebody else that is not true. And God hates it. To him, it's an abomination. Moving along to item number 3 in this list of seven abominations are hands that shed innocent blood. Now, if we remember the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us what God meant by thou shalt not kill. Now, we all understand that murder is a part of that commandment, and that's a mistake that the Pharisees had made. They thought, well, it's only involving taking the life of another. But as Jesus explained to them and taught them on thou shalt not kill, he informed them that God also had in mind character assassination. And when we consider taking another life or murder in that context, the biblical context, and the intent of thou shalt not kill, we understand that's what gossip is all about. Gossip is all about character assassination. And so again, we see that gossip is a part of these seven things that are an abomination. Moving into verse number 18. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Does that describe gossip or what? I think if we were to give a definition to gossip, I think this would define it fully and completely and very accurately. Just devising in our hearts wicked imaginations about other people. And God says that's an abomination. He goes on from there to talk about feet that be swift in running to mischief. Boy, someone that's caught up in gossip and does it habitually, they can't wait to hear or to repeat the next item of gossip. And so this, again, describes a gossiper very accurately. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Then moving along into verse number 19, a false witness that speaketh lies. A false witness that speaketh lies as they gossip and tell others things that they supposedly heard, and yet repeating lies to one another. And then finally, he that soweth discord among brethren.
Even if we remove gossiping from the equation, this one right here seems to be out of place, doesn't it? But God takes the unity of the local church very seriously. And if someone comes in and tries to split people apart, then God takes that also very seriously. He says it's an abomination. And so it behooves us to have that unity and to make certain there isn't any root of gossip dwelling in our hearts or in our lives and guarding against it. And as Satan comes in to bring any of these items that we see here that are an abomination of God, tempting us to do or to repeat any of these things, we must recognize it for what it is and resist that temptation so that we don't have contention in our church, so that God can pour out His richest blessings on us. And so much contention arises from gossiping about others in the church family. But a second area of contention in a church comes from griping about things in the church. Griping about things in the church. Do we have a perfect church? No. You don't have a perfect preacher. I kind of kill it right here. But then if we were to go down the list, if I somehow miraculously passed the test of perfection, then let's put you up next. Well, if you miraculously pass it, what about your spouse? You say, well, that's the end of it. I know too much about them. All right? There is no perfect church. And so the right attitude, instead of griping about things, I mean, we've got a lot of things we can improve, and we're trying to improve, and some things work and some things don't, but we're always trying to improve the ministries here. But instead of griping about all those kids, we had the young man this morning that was wandering and making some noise even during prayer time. He's a little fella, but I think if he stays home, then a well-behaved sister and brother, which he'll probably turn into later when he grows, wouldn't come either, and we lose the whole family. So instead of griping about it, you know what the right attitude is? I think you know. Is asking yourself, what can I do to help the situation? Now, a situation like that, there may not be a lot we can do to help, but we can all pray. God, help that young man to mature so that he can sit still in church and understand where he's at and what he's supposed to be doing. We can all at least do that, but usually we don't. Usually we fall prey to the tempter who makes us fall so easily, and we begin to complain and we begin to gripe about things, and all of a sudden these little molehills turn into great mountains because we find a sympathetic ear, and so we begin to complain and gripe some more, and then it's not just the little young man that made a lot of noise and misbehaved in church today. Then all of a sudden it becomes this and it becomes that and the other thing. Griping about church is the a leading factor in contention in a church. Because when you let something get under your skin, then it's not necessarily that something, but it's that one who's responsible for that something that you're griping about. And the devil dances for glee when he can get you to gripe. Instead of griping, just ask yourself, what can I do to help the situation? A third area of contention, and this is as far as we'll get today, is grasping to hard feelings and towards another Christian. Grasping to hard feelings toward another. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I should have had you look at 1 Corinthians 10:10. I'll just go ahead and read it. Now, this has to do with griping, to see how seriously God takes griping and complaining about things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 10, he says, "Neither murmur ye as some of them," talking about the Israelites as they were 40 years in the wilderness, "as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." You see, God destroyed them for complaining. Now, grasping into hard feelings, look at Colossians chapter 3, verse number 13. "Forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's a tall bill of goods, isn't it? That's a difficult command to follow and obey. But God doesn't lighten it up. God doesn't put any fine print in there saying except in certain circumstances. God just simply says that we are to forgive anyone and everyone as Christ forgave us. Now, how did Christ forgive us? We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning. We talked about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was a murderer. The book of Acts tells us that he murdered Christians. Now, when Paul got saved, does God still see Paul as a murderer? No. What did God do with those sins that Paul committed before he got saved, including murdering of Christians? What did God do? He forgot them. The Bible says in numerous places, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Aren't you glad that God has that attitude? Aren't you glad that when you bow down in prayer and say, God, I am so desperately in need of, and fill in the blank, whatever it is in your life, will you please grant it to me? Aren't you glad God doesn't sit up in heaven and say, well, you remember, back in 1974, some of you don't go back that far, but think back earlier in your life. Remember back in 1974 when you did, and then again, fill in the blank. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? Aren't you glad that God doesn't say, well, you know, my child, I would love to do that, but because of the sin you did in the past, I cannot. Aren't you glad God never says that? Aren't you glad that when God forgives us, He also forgets? Because so often we have people say that I forgive them, but I'll never forget. Aren't you glad God didn't say that? And God says we're not to say it either. God says that is not forgiveness. That might be reconciliation, but that is not forgiveness. And God requires forgiveness. Do we wrong one another? Yes, we wrong one another regularly. Now, hopefully not frequently, but we all do that. We're we're fallible. We're sinners. We've got a sin nature. And whether we do it intentionally or unintentionally, we can offend other people. And God says, if you're the one being offended, He says, you just need to forgive them and forget. Forgive and forget. A lot of cause of contention in local churches is because someone was just being a safe sinner, offended somebody in some way, whether they're even aware of it or not is really irrelevant. But that person that got offended never forgave them. From time to time, I'll hear an evangelist talk about a church he was in where you had one family sit on one side of the church, another family on the other side, and they never interacted because some reason, something happened way back when, where one got offended and never forgave. God says that's not the way a church that is blessed by Him exists, because that's contention. And so this is a tall bill of goods today. And I intended to be shorter than usual, but even though the message is shorter, I think the challenge is greater than normal. Contention is a great thing. Not great in good, but great in large. It's huge in the local church. It comes from gossiping, it comes from griping, and it comes from grasping to hard feelings and refusing to let them go. How about you this morning? Have any of these areas infected your life? If they have, we're going to have the invitation in just a moment. I'd invite you to come to the altar and get right with God and lay it up before Him and leave it at the altar. Father, we're so grateful for Your Word and so grateful for the blessings You give our church. And Father, we'd love to enjoy those blessings continuously. And Father, we don't have any contention that I'm aware of in our church. But Father, even if there be just a little root, just a little seed of contention planted through any of these areas mentioned or even something not mentioned this morning, Father, I pray that you would reveal that to us in order that we might rid ourselves of that, and whether we might be in a position to be a church that you thoroughly bless. Father, that's our heart's desire, not so that we'll be anything, but so that you'll be everything and that your name will be praised. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.